Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone.
Hello to Sean and in studio, and a big hello to all of you. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain. I'm a psychotherapist and the founder of Awareness Integration Theory. This is a show about what matters most in our lives, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. Today, I will share the tip of the week with you about how we can be there for each other, even if we're not similar and not the same, but how we could cooperate with each other. Then I will talk about how to handle feelings of fear in the Ask Me segment. And I've got the latest research from Yale University, where scientists are looking into the brain of individuals engaged in conversation. And what they observed is varied significantly whether somebody was in agreement or they were fighting. So that's interesting. And then I'll bring you Lawrence Duchin. He's an entrepreneur and the author of a book on fear, feeling safe in a challenging world. So we will be talking about fear a lot today. And hopefully after this show, you know how to handle it and listen to it and release it and let it go and shift to the love that you are. I love to hear from you. So connect with me through my website, fujian.com, and follow my social media and message me with comments or topics of interest, because I want to know what it is that you want me to talk about, and then I'll definitely share it with you. But first, here's the tip of the week.
The Fat Greek in Yucaipa, where you can get authentic, delicious, true Greek food. Authentic gyros, Greek salads, pitas, falafel, hamburgers, burritos, and oh yes, baklava. The Fat Greek has a large selection of wines, ice-cold domestic and imported Greek beers. Come on down to the Fat Greek, located on Yucaipa Boulevard in the city of Yucaipa. Open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. The Fat Greek has delivery, drive-through, sit-down, and a catering service. So bring in a family or give Nicholas and Christopher a call at 909-797-6018. Eat Greek, live long. Remember, if you want authentic Greek food, it's the Fat Greek in Yucaipa.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zhang. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Hello, it's Dr. Fujian Zhang. This is the tip of the week. This week, I've been experiencing gratitude for many aspects of life. I've been speaking to friends, family, colleagues, and clients about their pain, suffering, resiliency, and gratitude for who they are and what they have in life. Interestingly enough, this week, a neighbor approached me with no apparent reason and began to insult me directly because of my political affiliation, my ethnicity, my country of origin. And another neighbor took a stance for my rights, and I was practically smiling with the highest respect for people who support each other and with compassion for those who are so angry in their expression and lack of interest in getting to know others. Many people share their own experiences this week with their fear, anger, mistrust, hope, compassion, and resilience. It appears that emotions are so heightened that people are having difficulty restraining themselves long enough to regulate their emotions and follow through a path of logic and then intent for understanding and compromisation before attempting to communicate. The allowance to just blast is becoming a right and a norm for many. Pressures are high for most people around the world. Many people are experiencing a loss. Many live in the unknown and the instability of what the future will bring. Many are angry and waiting to create change. Some are so angry, feel hatred, and are out to destroy. What has made us survive through wars, revolutions, climate disasters, economic disasters, plagues, pandemics, all in all has been our cooperativeness and compassion for each other. And at times, even for the ones who do not think like us or have the same race or color. So observe yourself. Really look at you. What are you angry about? What are your losses? What is it that you need to say and haven't yet said it? What are your needs? What are you grateful for? And who are you grateful for? How can you expand your compassion and care toward others? What are your biases? What are your prejudices? And who do you know that you have felt prejudiced against and from? We all have experienced, we all have biases, and we all never liked it when somebody else returned the favor of being prejudiced against us. So we know it doesn't work. And where are you stuck? To support you in looking inside and learning the skills to become aware and integrate your inner parts and dialogues, I refer you to my book, Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. Be there for someone who needs your support, even if they're not the same as you. Trust me, you will need theirs sometimes in your life.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zhang. You can get it now at Fujon.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
When you want the best performance for your vehicle, think only of Scott's Headers and Mufflers in Beaumont, right off the I-10 and 60 freeways. Check out Scott's complete list of performance products on their website at hdrinfo.com. Scott's Headers and Mufflers can recommend ways for your car or truck to get better gas mileage and cut down on emissions. Need your car or truck to pass smog only? Go to Scott's Headers and Mufflers in Beaumont. Find out all of your questions on vehicle performance by logging on to hdrinfo.com. Scott's Headers and Mufflers in Beaumont. HDRinfo.com.
Your Pharmacy and Mobility Solutions now has Pack Your Meds. That's right, just add water. You order five or more prescriptions from Your Pharmacy and Mobility Solutions, and they will pack your meds for you in AM/PM marked packs. No more sitting down and counting and dropping them on the floor. You remember, it's not fun. I didn't like it. So now they'll do it for you. Safe, sealed, and dated. So call Your Pharmacy and Mobility Solutions at 951-845-8252.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujon. Dr. Fujon is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujon. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Fujon Zain, and this is the Ask Me Anything segment. So some of the questions that came from you guys is there's a lot of fear going around, and it shows up as a lot of anger. But underneath that anger, there's a fear of loss, fear of something being taken away from us. And how do we handle the fear so that it doesn't destroy our life? I know that even through the pandemic, a lot of people had fear of getting ill, fear of dying, fear of the unknown, fear of not knowing when to go back to any norm that was there before. So what do we do with fear? Well, first of all, I think it's important for all of us to assess and see at that moment if the fear is real, if there's anything out there that is going to damage us, or there's something that we need to protect ourselves from. So if it was the matter of COVID-19 or, we're in an environment that might be, there might actually be danger, then yes, we do need to do something. So taking fear as an emotion that is like a signal that is telling us, hey, you need to protect yourself, you might be harmed. That's what we do. Then we do an assessment and kind of strategize in how to protect ourselves. And that's the first thing we need to do. The second part of the fear is many times we do have fear of something that is not really happening right now, but there's an idea of it happening. So it is in our brain. It's in a vision that is based on some information we get, based on the thought process that we have, based on what we see and hear in the media or social media. It pipes us. It kind of like starts getting us all uproar. This is what we get today from a lot of people, which, you know, hear a lot of the conspiracy theories or go on social media, and each one of them are creating some videos. Some of them might be accurate or some of them are made up, and just, you know, producing fear.
And these kind of concepts, which is going to affect your life. You know, I've known people who are like, I'm leaving the city, I'm leaving the country, I'm going to go hide somewhere. And that's what they're doing. And every single day, they're on their phone or looking at the media and figuring out what is their move. Sometimes those are not really relevant to the person right away, and it's not an imminent danger for them. So the point on that would be, hey, again, assess. Is this relevant to you? Is this a cause that you want to take on? Then instead of going through fear, then have your passion, have your information, what it is that you want to take on. What are some of the companies or agencies or organizations that you want to take a stand with? And do it from a place of passion about a cause that you have. And remember, if that passion and the cause is something that is beneficial to everyone and it's not coming through violence and destruction, then you can take a stand on it. But if there's any part of you that takes that fear, and in the fear of getting harmed, you become the abuser and the harmer and the one who's going to actually destroy, I would request from you to take a second look. And every time you put yourself in a position of wanting to destroy, you are also going to get destroyed. So please revisit that idea. And the third part is, a lot of times fears comes from the experiences that we had from childhood or, you know, in our past, which we felt powerless. And those sense of powerlessness and helplessness kind of like following us, but not necessarily that they're accurate anymore. Maybe we have the power now. Maybe we have the skills in taking care of all that we need to do. So maybe that we just need to readjustment to reality and being in the present. So honor your fear. Feel what it is that's going on. Assess if it's an imminent danger and protect yourself. If it's not the one, see what it is that you need to intend to do and take care of yourself and protect yourself in a way that it's win-win for you and everyone else. And if it's something from the past, clear it up, take care of yourself, and put the bygones and heal and clean whatever it was, and regain your power, strength, and resiliency that you have, and move forward with it. And one of the things you could do is take your body, exercise, release, dance with joy, and clean your body out of fear, and fill it up with love and kindness and gratitude and joy and light.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Well, hello again. This is the latest research. Yale researchers have devised a way to peer into the brains of two people simultaneously while are engaged in discussion. What they found will not surprise anyone who has found themselves arguing about politics recently or social issues. When two people agree, their brain exhibit a calm synchronicity of activity focused on sensory areas of the brain. When they disagree, however, many other regions of the brain involved in higher cognitive functions become mobilized as each individual combats the other's argument. A Yale-led research team reports on January 13 in the Journal of Frontiers of Human Neuroscience. Dr. Jameson, professor of psychiatry and professor of comparative medicine and neurosciences, states that our entire brain is a social processing network. However, it just takes a lot more brain real estate to disagree than to agree. It's a lot of your energy being wasted, huh? For this study, the researchers from Yale and University College London recruited 38 adults who were asked to say whether they agreed or disagreed with a series of statements such as same-sex marriage is in a civil right, marijuana, should it be legalized? After matching up pairs based on their responses, the researchers used an imaging technology called functional near infrared spectroscopy to record their brain activity while they engaged in face-to-face discussions. When the people were in agreement, brain activity was harmonious and tended to be concentrated on sensory areas of the brain, such as the visual system, presumably in response to social cues from their partner. However, during disputes, these areas of the brain were less active. Meanwhile, activity increased in the brain's frontal lobes, home of higher order executive functions. Dr. Hirsch said that there is a synchronicity between the brains when we agree, but when we disagree, the neural coupling disconnects. Understanding how our brains function while disagreeing or agreeing is particularly important in a polarized political environment. In this court, two brains engage many emotional and cognitive resources, like a symphony orchestra playing different music. In agreement, there's a less cognitive engagement and more social interaction between brains of talkers, similar to a musical duet. Oh, well, look at this. Did you want to constantly argue, whether it's your friends or your partner, especially in your marriage with your children, and be in a space of constantly spending excess energy to combat, or calm yourself, negotiate, come to some similarities, and listen to each other from your heart? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I have Lawrence Duchin with me. He is an entrepreneur and the author of a book on fear, Feeling Safe in a Challenging World. In the business world, he's worked for or been associated with enterprises from small startups to multinational corporations, and he is the co-founder of HUSO, Huso Sound Therapy, which delivers powerful healing benefits to individuals and professionals worldwide. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Fujian.
What a beautiful topic to talk about, because I think that we really are experiencing a lot of fear, and then it turns more into anger whenever, you know, we're not attending to it in a sense. You talk about fear. So let me ask you first, why fear, and how come out of all the emotions that are there, you chose to write about this one?
Well, I didn't actually choose to write it, but I kind of got a download in August of 2019, and it was a bunch of information, and it covered a variety of topics. And I realized, I didn't know if it was going to be one book or two books, but I realized in January, about a year ago, that it was actually supposed to be a book on fear. And I was thinking, that's pretty obvious, because I'm kind of an expert on fear. I've had to go through a huge amount of fear as part of my emotional and spiritual healing journeys. And so I understand fear. I understand the defenses it can bring up. I understand, you know, the strategies that we need to really bring fear into more of our awareness, and so we can dissipate it.
My understanding of a part of what I read about you is that you also have had a lot of personal experience of trauma as a child. I personally have had a lot of experiences of trauma also, and I wondered if that had anything to do with you experiencing fear or any other type of emotion that showed up which held you. And did that have to do with your journey as moving forward and finding yourself and creating strength and resiliency?
Absolutely. That was the primary thing. So I was sexually abused by my mother when I was going through puberty, which is obviously to be sexually abused is a difficult thing, you know, as a child, but even going through puberty, that's even more of a difficult time because you're trying to sort out all kinds of sexual energies, understand love. And so I came out of that experience with a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And I was a pretty angry person in my 20s. And then I just wanted to be a better person for my wife and for my children. And I knew that I could, and there was a series of events that happened that kind of precipitated that knowing, but I just wanted to, as I say, really get the poison out of my body, all of what was false. I knew I could be a much more joyful person, much more grateful person, and that I could lead a much more productive life and be of service, be a light in the world, be a light starting with my family, and just have much more authentic and healthy relationships.
I totally understand, and I experience it myself, and I see it in a lot of my clients. You know, I've been a therapist for almost 30 years, and I see these two parts of the coins where there's part of the fear and feeling of kind of not having any power, the powerlessness that we have and helplessness that we have, which we do experience in abuse when we are part of, you know, the recipient of the abuse. And the other side of it is anger. And I heard you say that you also went through a lot of years of experiencing anger, which underneath it apparently was that fear. And what personally shifted you from going from anger to kind of like being love, let's say, going from anger to love?
Well, I think there were two events that basically the universe or that God put into my life that kind of awakened me in a sense. One was my stepmother and father were going through some type of experiential treatment therapy, and they were having a seminar in Florida. This was an offsite seminar, and my wife and I were like, they asked us, they said, we'd like for you to go. And so we thought, oh, cool trip to Florida, not knowing what we were going to be getting into. But at that seminar, I discovered how basically, and this is a crude way of putting it, but how dysfunctional I was and how much I needed to heal. And so I entered into an emotional healing path at that time, consisting of a lot of therapy and a lot of other methods, which enabled me to begin to heal. At the same time, I remember one specific event. I was putting my daughter down. She was about 2 at the time. She's 30 now. And I remember feeling such immense love for her. And that was the first time I'd ever felt that emotion to that degree. And I knew that love was the most powerful force in the universe. And so I trace that back to kind of my spiritual awakening and my spiritual path that started at that point. And it's interesting because early on, I saw the emotional and spiritual paths as separate, but I came to know that they're actually one, because we come back to a recognition of our divinity through our emotions. And that's very important. And so, you know, fear as part of one of our emotions is not something that's coming up to punish us. Fear is a trigger for us to see what's behind it so that we can then see what doesn't serve us in terms of our beliefs and our conditioning that created those beliefs, whether that be individual conditioning or societal conditioning, or even some intergenerational trauma, because it's been proven that trauma is carried over, you know, cellularly from our ancestors. So to be able to shed light on all of these things, you can start to dissipate these what's false, and then what's true is underneath that, and that's what comes to the surface.
Absolutely. In your book, you say what we often miss is the fear that comes up from our subconscious and is created by our belief systems. And these types of fears are interlinked with and underpin the more obvious outer ones above. Some of them could be fear of unknown, not being in control, not being loved, not being good enough, not living up to other people's expectations or our own expectations. There's also a lot of fear of the what happens in the future, or fear of everybody else's anger, or fear of what everybody else's anger will do to us, or how we're going to get, you know, feel kind of like segregated in a group. So I think that we're also living in a challenging time where fear is also being utilized, and maybe it always was, but somehow it seems like it's heightened. The fear is also being utilized more and more. How do you find yourself working with this type of fear as it keeps popping, not only from our own, but everybody else's in a collective way showing up?
So that's a good, you know, good point. We are part of a collective, and we are not separate from the fear, but we have to drop out of herd mentality, and we have to address our fears so that once we do that, then we are not part of, then we may feel, we may see or be aware of other people's fears, but we're not energetically engaging with them, and it's not taking us, it's not contracting us. And certainly we're in a rampant time of great fear, and we have to, we really have, this is what we're being called to do individually and collectively, is to come to a greater awareness of who we are as divine beings. And so this is not by accident, in terms of we're being asked to evolve, grow, release what's false. And certainly a lot of people, there's a lot of people that are going towards that end, and then there's a lot of people who are resisting that. And so, you know, fear, when we're talking about fear, what other, like you were mentioning, if somebody's going to get angry at me, that causes fear or whatever. A lot of our fear comes from our, from a distorted sense of self-worth, and looking at what other people think of us, and looking for our identity outside of ourselves as opposed to what's within. And once we start to understand what's within and the diamond that is there, then we won't be in fear anymore.
And tell me, what do you mean by the diamond that is there?
Well, we are divine beings. We're not these, we're not this narrow ego lens that we see ourselves. We're not the, we're not our identities. We're not the roles we play. Those are just vehicles that we have in this existence to come to a greater awareness of who we are as divine beings, to remember, to evolve, to grow, to help others do the same. And that's the greatest joy that you can come to come into an awareness of yourself. That's the greatest joy that you can, that you can have. And there's innate joy underneath that, and to know our unity with all that is. And certainly there's been a lot of very wise people over the years, like, you know, Socrates said, know thyself. Jesus basically told us to know thyself. So what they're telling us is look inside instead of look outside of yourself. And it's obviously, it's very difficult because society tells us to look outside, tells us that we are not, you know, that we need this product or service to be worthy, or we need this to keep up with the Joneses. And so we're inundated with marketing that gives us the exact wrong messages. And then many of us have individual conditioning that came from childhood, or it could have come from a workplace situation, maybe an abusive situation, but basically childhood conditioning where our parents did not tell us that you are worthy, you know, you're good enough as you are. They gave us a lot of messages like, you know, they may have explicitly said you're not a good person, or they may have implicitly said you have to do this or this to be a good person in my eyes. And so we, you know, as a psychologist, you're very aware of this, but we basically took on all of that conditioning. And as I mentioned in the book, we're like children, or like, we're like a sponge, you know, but if the child is soaking up polluted water, that's not a good thing. And so many of us have been in situations where we soaked up polluted water.
Absolutely. You say, especially in Western society, this collective belief that everything should continually get bigger and that we should conquer nature comes from a collective hubris that has its root in theology and the concept of manifest destiny. It also comes from a fear of what can happen when contraction occurs. What if we change our definition of success to how kind we are, how much light we put into the world, and how emotionally healthy our children are, an overall level of joy, or how fulfilled we are in whatever we do to earn income? That is a tall order, which I'm really like committed to, but that is, it appears at one point like a tall order, doesn't it?
It is a tall order, but you know, the way I look at it and the way, what I tell people is, do you want, you're literally living in a prison cell of your own making. Do you want to open the door and try and come into the light? Even, I mean, there's going to be some pain to that, but you know, there doesn't have to be suffering. Suffering comes from resistance to that pain, but pain is part of the fabric of this life of being human. We can't get away from that. We don't want to get away from that. The problem with society, the first part of that quote is that we think, you know, it's like the economy, or it's like our, it's like our emotions, like our emotions should never, we should never be sad. So we have all of these hacks, whether it be, you know, some type of prescription medicine or something that you apply to your brain to always stay happy. And that's not, and let me say, I took antidepressant medicines for a number of years, and in situations where they're needed, I would heartily recommend that, but I don't recommend staying on it forever. Now, some people may need to stay on it forever because of the chemical imbalances, but I want to throw that in there because I'm not trying to cut down anything else. But my point is that sadness is part of life. Okay. And we shouldn't try and, you know, ignore the sadness. Now, if we're consider, you know, a lot of people are depressed because they're not finding the joy that comes from being as in life. You know, just as opposed to just normal sadness that will come and go. So change is a part of our natural, you know, natural part of being here. Things will come and go, and we're not supposed to hack it. We're supposed to just basically flow with it. You know, we're fighting life when we're trying to hack it. And I don't know how we got the concept like we're supposed to be extremely happy all the time, because it's just not going to happen. I mean, when you have a loved one die or an animal or whatever, you're going to be sad, you know, and you should honor that and let it, you know, come out, and it will come out, and then you'll move on.
I think part of what I also liked about that quote is to actually strive toward kindness. Because when you say that, for example, when I'm striving towards success, and when you're looking at it as a as the economic factor only, and how many things I have, then the amount of time that I put in during the day, the amount of time that I put in for envisioning, you know, the things that I do all day, the commitment that I utilize, you know, where I put my money, all of those are towards gaining the success that is more wealth oriented, and it shows up with that. And I'm not saying not to do that, but what I also got from your book and the quote that I just stated from your book is, what if we define our success with the amount of kindness that we have? And then that means that if I'm also defining success as that, then it means that I'm also putting time and effort and, you know, putting my, you know, my my money where my mouth is, and helping and creating a system and structure around the way I speak, the way I connect, the way I relate to other human beings or beings, you know, or the earth itself, is through that type of a kindness versus getting caught in my fear and anger and separation. You know, and that's what I said I'm really committed to. And it was really beautiful to see it in your book.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the reasons that I put that quote in for that reason, because you are shifting into different energetic, but also because that quotes the end of the chapter on basically societal belief systems. And so we've been told, and especially in Western society, that we should achieve the American dream. And number one, you can't even define what the American dream is. So if you can't even define it, you can't reach that goal. And we're like the gerbil on the wheel, just going and going. We don't even know where the destination is. And so we can't control that, but we can't control, you know, whether we reach that goal for several reasons, but we can control how kind we are, how much, you know, how authentic our relationships are, how present we are in those relationships. So that was the double part of putting that quote in there, in terms of like, these are things that we can control and that are within us, not something external to us.
Yes. You also share that true power is used for the benefit of everyone because it comes from a unitive perspective and an understanding that we're all in it together. And I think that is also a shift in the perspective of what culturally we hear. A lot of times when we hear power, it appears to be there's a power of like there's a one person or a very elite group or a group that holds the power and not everyone, versus what you're offering in your book is this definition of no, there is no one that can be alone in power. It is a cumulative concept. It's a togetherness concept, which every single person holds that. It's that, you know, whether it's a leader or a follower, whether it's a togetherness, whether it's an internal power, whether it's the power of togetherness and the teamwork, every single human being that holds within that system holds the power within.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we see in the world today is really an ego power, where individuals are trying to hold power over other people. And so what we want to, one of the themes that I put in through the book is that we want to be really aware of where we give our power away to external authorities, to individuals, to, you know, our companies, whatever it is. We're disempowering ourselves greatly in terms of, you know, saying that somebody knows what's best for us. Nobody knows what's best for you except you. And so we tend to give our power away so that we can make something right, or that we can get promoted, or whatever it is. And so we need to, being disempowered is being a victim, and we don't want to go there. And so the type of power that, you know, I obviously we're not at this point in this society, but the type of power that we want to have is those who are, quote, in power, the authorities or other types of officials, whether that be health authorities or whatever it is, that they are looking out for everyone's best interests at the same time, not just their own self-interest.
Absolutely. Hooray to that. And then you also share that thought is just energy formed into a certain pattern. If that thought is energized enough, it manifests as reality and the world we live in. Most people do not realize that their thought as it manifests individually and collectively is the powerful, and that they need to be very careful what they energize, what they continue to think about and focus on. This is why continual thoughts of fear can be detrimental, as we are literally creating what could happen. Share more about that.
So, you know, quantum physics has shown us what spirituality and spiritual masters have told us for a long time, that basically everything is one and that only the now exists. And so quantum physics has shown us that time is not linear, it's not fixed, and that we exist in one large unified field of energy. And so we are creating our reality by what we think. And you know, that's basically an individual reality and a collective reality. And so we have to be careful about what paradigm, what reality we want to live in. And so basically when we're thinking of fear thoughts all the time, we're creating like an energetic rut in our being that we're staying in, and that, you know, and it's like a downward loop. We keep going down that loop. It's a negative feedback loop, but we want to move from that type of fear-based mentality to a gratitude, compassion, forgiveness, love, joy type of energetic, because then we're reinforcing that loop and we will be in that loop. And whatever we energize, the universe will bring us more of that, because we're basically telling the universe, this is what we believe.
So when we can adjust our focus and our thought process into something that we actually do want to create, and not come from an ego fear based of, you know, manifesting whatever it is that we're putting in front of us, but come from the collective kindness when we're creating that. So the contextual aspect of it could come from the collective kindness and the benefit of all. And then the actualization and manifesting it could be in any format. You talk about coming to the present moment and creating that. Can you share a little bit about the process that you share in your book about how to be intentional and how to create what we envision from that perspective?
Sure. So we have to get to the place we want to go, we have to know what's stopping us from getting there. So, and as you know, as a psychologist, there's a lot of hidden, we have the shadow, and there's just a lot of hidden within us. And all of those belief systems are running underneath the surface, like a virus runs underneath the computer and affects the operation of the computer. Well, that's affecting the operation of us. So we want to take a look at the way that we recognize what those are, those hidden belief systems, is we begin to see what our triggers are, where we're emotionally triggered, what our reactions are. And then we start to say, you know, we recognize that, and we can see the belief systems that underpin that. And we can also see then the conditioning that created those belief systems. And so Carl Jung, who's the father of analytical psychology, said that projection is one of the most common phenomenon. So, you know, we're usually not angry for the reasons we think. Usually behind anger, there's fear, there's guilt, there's sadness. Self-judgment of others is a projection of our self-judgment. Guilt or blame of others is a projection of our guilt. So if we can start to see where we're triggered and pull those projections back in, we can see the beliefs, see the conditioning, and then we can say, oh, that doesn't serve me anymore. Maybe it served me as a child to keep me safe or whatever, but I need to, I need to release that. And so part of the practices that, as you do that, you know, you also want to incorporate practices that put us into the now and also put us in the body, because all of our emotions are stored cellularly in the body. And so practices like that could be meditation, you know, being in nature, yoga, dance, painting, whatever it is that puts you into there and gives you more body awareness. And then we also want to incorporate practices of gratitude, compassion, and forgiveness, because they open our heart space. And our heart, you know, our heart is basically has electromagnetic field of the heart is 60 times larger than the electromagnetic field of the brain. And so the heart is shown, I think it's neurites, I can't remember what, but the heart's been shown to have the same, you know, type of intelligence. So the heart for me is literally the seat of our consciousness. And so that's where our divinity resides. And we want to open up the heart. And so it's a process of just, you have to be willing. I mean, you have to say, my life is not working as it is, and I want to make a change. Okay. And then the universe hears that, and the universe will help you do that, and will bring you those experiences and those relationships that will help you do that. But you have to then follow through. And so, you know, we just have to want it, and we have to proceed with it, and we have to, and then we'll have experienced times of great joy and gratitude. And that encourages us to keep going.
Can you also share a little bit about the sound therapy, the company that you have, and how do you utilize sound therapy and the healing?
Sure. So the sound therapy company is called HUSO, H-U-S-O, stands for human sound. And it's basically was created from, actually my co-founder is the creator of the technology. It consists of human sound. It was toned in a studio by long-term sound healers, in the indigenous traditions, so like Tibet, Native American, Hawaiian, that type of thing. And then it was some harmonics of those bass frequencies were added in to create an oscillating waveform that creates a certain resonance in the cell. But Huso helps take somebody from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic, so from fight or flight to resting or healing state, and it's just having transformative results in terms of nervous system conditions, kids with ADHD, sleep, stress, just something that we were very, you know, divinely led, and it's out there and just doing some good work.
That's beautiful. And is that being utilized, it seems like, in a lot of therapeutic settings?
It is. It's being utilized. We have both a professional system and a home unit. The home unit, we've, you know, have thousands of these across the world. And so it's been very rewarding to see how that's helped people. But, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is how we have, there's certain vehicles that life brings us to help us to release what is false within us. And Huso's definitely been one of those vehicles for me. Mm-hmm. So in many ways. So it hasn't been easy all the time, but I've been grateful for it.
Beautiful. In 1 minute, is there anything that we haven't shared that you really want our audience to know about?
I think the biggest thing is to talk quickly about compassion. And as you know, seeing people with therapy, you know, life can be really hard sometimes, and working through some of these things can be pretty hard. And it's very important to have compassion on yourself as you're going through this, because compassion enables us to just go through it in a little bit easier way and know that there is a purpose behind it and that we will get through to the other end. And when we have self-compassion, we'll have compassion on others. And certainly the world is lacking in compassion right now. We're very divisive in a lot of ways. And so we need to see that we're one humanity, one you know, body of in divinity, and that we need to have compassion on our brothers and sisters.
Definitely. This is the time to practice kindness and compassion anywhere we are in the world. I think we all need it. And it's needed to calm down everybody and take them from the fear to a safety place, and knowing that, like you said, we're all together. We're going to be here together, and might as well get along together.
Exactly.
Everyone, Lawrence Duchin, please get the book, A Book on Fear, Feeling Safe in a Challenging World. And we all need to feel safe in the challenging world. And you can go to lawrenceduchin.com to find Lawrence and the book, or probably Amazon, right?
Yeah, the easiest way to go is you can get on Amazon, but is to go a book on fear.com. We'll forward to my website. You can click off of my website to go to Lawrence, to the book.
Bookonfear.com.
A book on fear.com.
A book on fear.com. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And for all of you who are out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.